Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. Changing a generation. Everybody say, change a generation. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. If you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. And you can follow along on the screen if you did not bring your Bible today. And I'm going to read this from the Message version and the Amplified Classic version. And so, do I need to wait on you? Okay. I want you all to be able to go home and get some victuals, get you something to eat before the 3 o'clock service. So we're not going to be before you too long today. So Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says this. It says, a good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. Ill-gotten wealth ends up with good people. Let's read this in the Amplified Classic version. It says this. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. And so as you all know, as everybody in this room knows, that Lady Pilar and I are expecting a third version of Lester Bell Sr. We are expecting Lester Bell III, right? And so God has really been speaking to me about legacy. He's been speaking to me about the next generation. He's been speaking to me about what's to come. And so that's why we did this legacy series. I let you all know week one, but that's why we did this legacy series, because God is speaking to me heavenly about that, because he wants me to be able to change a generation. So we who are living have the beautiful ability to affect the generation either negatively or positively. So everyone in this room has the opportunity and the ability to either affect the generation negatively, or we can affect the generation positively. And so most times, the functionalism in our heart affects the functionalism in others. I'm going to say that again. Most of the times, the dysfunctionalism in our heart affects the functionalism in others. And so this is how generational curses continue to flow in our families. And I was talking about this yesterday with my dad in love. And we were talking about generational curses, and he said that sometimes we have generational tendencies. Let me give you what a generational tendency is. If your mom taught you how to do it like this, like let's say your mom taught you how to bake a cake, but she burned the bottom of her cakes, right? And so when you bake the cake, you burn the bottom of your cake as well, right? And instead of saying, well, let me figure out why the bottom of this cake is burning, I'm going to continue to do it as my parents taught me. And a lot of us are living life as our parents taught us, and that is okay if we've lined it up with the truth of who God is. See, we have to make sure that we line up the truth that we think we receive from our parents, because they taught from their parents, and their parents are taught from their parents. And so we have to make sure that wisdom lines up. So that's why we talked about last week. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God and he will provide it for you. So this leads me to my first key point, which is this. When our heart is not clear, we misinterpret what love is. When our heart is not clear, we misinterpret what love is. See, God is consistent in his love for us. The question is our heart clear enough to receive this love and administer this love to those we are connected to? See, God is consistent in his love. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, God is consistent in his love. God loves you so much. See, we love God because he first loved us. And so God is consistent in his love. So when we understand that God is consistent in his love, it depends on Is my heart clear enough to receive the love from God and interpret love based on the word of God, or am I interpreting love based on the trauma of my past? See, a lot of us, see, the reason why we interpret love the way we interpret love is because we have trauma from our past that we have not allowed God to deal with. And so that trauma from our past, it affects our future as well. It affects our present. It affects how we treat people. It affects how we speak to generations. It affects how we speak to people. Are we speaking to people out of love, or are we speaking to people out of an interpretation of love that doesn't line up with the will of God? See, when God does not have our full heart, we limit what he can do through our lives and the lives of those connected to us. I'm going to say that again. When God does not have your full heart, you limit God on what he can do in your life and the life of others. See, when God does have our heart, we take decisions. See, let me say this again, because I'm kind of moving too fast because I'm ready to get you all out of here. But when God does not have our full heart, we take decisions into our own hands, and instead of consulting to one who created us. So basically what happens is when God doesn't have our heart, we say, okay, I'm going to make this decision by myself. I'm not going to ask God. I'm not going to allow God to direct my path. I'm going to make this decision by myself. And we learned in week two that when Achan made the decision to take the money from the spoils, his whole bloodline got killed. And so we have to understand that the decision that we make today will affect our future. It was so refreshing to hear what Bishop Bennett said Friday night about how the decisions we make now affect our future. The food you eat now affects your future. The money you save now affects your future. The life you live now affects your future. And so we have to make sure that we are asking God to lead us into the right way. And so there are some things we have done, and we're all guilty of this. There are some things that we have done just because we have seen our parents do them that are not necessarily true. How many of us have ever done something because you said, well, that's what my mom taught me, and it wasn't necessarily true? Everybody in this room can attest to that. See, the question is, are you willing to confront those things and ask God to renew your vision on them? See, we have to confront what we think is true, and we have to make sure that we test the Spirit by the Spirit. We have to make sure that we test the truth to who God truly is. And who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. And so when we make sure that we line that our truth lines up with the word of God, then we are in alignment with who God is. And so this leads me to my next key point, which is this. In order to change a generation, we have to ask God to change us. See, in order for us to change a generation, in order for us to see that next generation succeed, see the next generation go forth and advance in the kingdom of God, we first have to ask God to change us. See, I can never affect the next generation if I'm stuck in my ways. See, you'll never be able to affect the next generation if you are stuck in your ways. And so this leads me to Psalms chapter 51, verse 10. Psalm chapter 51, verse 10. And it says this. It says, create a new, clean heart within me. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires, ready to please you. See, we will never be able to change a generation without first being the change we want to see. We've all heard that, right? Be the change that you want to see. See, I can, so when L3 gets here, I can't say, hey, son, don't do this, but I'm doing this myself. I can't say, hey, son, don't jump in the water head first. And you see me jumping in the water head first. See, it doesn't line up with, see, my actions don't line up with my words. And that's what happens a lot of times. Our actions don't line up with our words. And so we're asking God, God, change me. We're asking God, why hasn't my situation changed? Because you hadn't allowed God to change you. So most times we do not want to ask God for change because we are stuck in the familiar. How many of us are stuck in the familiar? We're stuck in tradition. We're stuck in doing something the same old, same old, same old, same old, and we expecting different results. See, it'll never work. If you always doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. See, I cannot not go to the gym and expect to be strong. It don't work. It don't work. If I continue to not go to the gym, if I continue to not work out, then I'm not going to be able to strengthen my muscles, right? But when I go to the gym consistently, then I can see change happen in my life. See, when you go to God consistently, you can see change happen in your life. See, change should happen in your life. See, when you get stuck in the familiar, you start to justify the dysfunction as that is just who I am, or that is who I saw my parents to be. See, when your heart is stuck in the old, when your heart is stuck in the familiar, you're gonna justify that every time you can. Well, that's just who I am. That's just who God created me to be. Is that really who God created you to be? Did God create you to be a mean person? Did God create you to be a person that judges others, a person that talks negatively about others, a person that puts people on guilt trips? Did God really create you like that? No, he did not, because that does not line up with the word of God. That does not line up with love. See, God does not put a guilt trip on you. He doesn't say, well, if you don't get saved, then you're going to go through this, and this going to happen to you, and this going to happen to you. See, he allows you. See, that's the free will that God has given us. He allows you that free will to choose him. See, he gave the same choice to the children of Israel. They had the free will to choose him, but they wanted to choose other gods. And when they chose other gods, then they saw their life go in the wrong direction. And so a lot of times we are choosing the wrong things and our life is going in the wrong direction. And instead of choosing God, we choose these things and we make these things our God. And when these things fail, we ask God, why did these things fail? And God says, because you made that your choice. And so I believe God is calling for us to reconsider some of the things we have held on to as truth. See, we need to reconsider what we call truth. And we need to make sure that this lines up with the word of God. See, a lot of us are not free when it comes to the truth of who God is. See, we interpret God based on who we think he is. You know, we always think God sits high, he looks low. But God is right here. He's closer to you than your hands and feet. He's nearer to you than the breath that you breathe. And so a lot of times we would rather complain than change, because if we change, we will not have anything to complain about. See, a lot of times, if I'm going to complain about something, I'm going to keep complaining about it, then that means that I don't want it to change. Because when it changes, guess what? I don't got nothing to complain about. And a lot of us are stuck in that. We're asking God to change a generation without first changing us. And so when God changes us, then we can change a generation, because that generation, remember, legacy is not in what you leave. Legacy is in who you leave behind. And so legacy is not in what I say. Legacy is in who I become, what I do, how I act. See, your legacy, people are watching how you live, and we are living epistles. And so we have to make sure that we are making the right decisions in the now. We have to make sure that we are asking God to direct our steps and direct our path, because when he does, then we can live the life that he created us to live. And so coming up on the screen, I want y'all to look at this quote that came to me. It says this. It says, the greatest revolution of our generation is the discovery that human beings, by changing the inner attitudes of their mind, can change the outer aspects of their life. And so a lot of times we don't want to change our mind when it comes to life. We don't want to change our mind when it comes to who God is. And since we don't change our mind to who God is, we don't repent. What is repent, Pastor Jay? Repent is changing of your mind. It's changing of your mind. So God wants us to change our mind. So this leads me to my next key point, which is this. The type of life we live is the type of lesson we will teach to generations to come. So the type of life that you live will be the type of lesson you will teach to generations to come. And so if I live a life of God not having my heart, it will affect generations negatively. There's a scripture in the Old Testament where it talks about how God punishes those who hate him generationally. So God is a generational God. See, God is not just thinking about just our generation, our time. God is a multi-generational God. And so if I live a life of God having my heart, it will affect generations positively. So when God has my heart, then it will affect the next generation positively. But if God does not have my heart, then I will affect the generation negatively. And this is what the scripture says. Let's go to Psalm chapter 78. And I'm almost finished. Psalm chapter 78. Did I say Shalom? I think I did. I think I said Shalom. Shalom. Is that a new book of the Bible or something? Am I speaking in tongues up here? What's going on? Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. And this is what it says. It says, "Beloved ones, listen to this instruction. Open your heart to the revelation of this mystery that I share with you. A parable and a proverb are hidden in what I say, an intriguing riddle from the past." Verse 3 through 4. "We've heard true stories from our fathers about our rich heritage. We will continue to tell our children and not hide from the rising generation the great marvels of our God, his miracles and power that have brought us all this far." So stop. So basically what the psalmist is saying is, we're going to tell the next generation of the marvelous works of who God is and the marvelous works of what God has done. See, you have to make sure that in your generation that you say, okay, I'm going to make sure that I inform the next generation of how good God is, how God kept me, how God kept us through the pandemic, how God kept us through 2020 that felt like 2 years long, how God kept us through life, how God kept us through 25 years of ministry and more. See, we have to be the ones that are going to be this, that's going to be able to say, hey, look, God has kept us. God continues to keep us, and God will continue to keep you. Let's read verse 5. It says, "The story of Israel is a lesson in God's ways. He established decrees for Jacob and established the law in Israel, and he commanded our forefathers to teach them to their children. For perpetuity, God's ways will be passed down from one generation to the next, even to those not yet born." Did you hear that? For perpetuity. So what's perpetuity? Let's know that's a big word. Perpetuity is forever. It's forever. So you can say for forever, God's ways will be passed down from one generation to the next, even those who are not yet born. And so the life that you live is affecting those who are not yet born. And God's ways wants to be passed down through every generation. So L3 is not born yet. Gigi is not born yet. But they will understand the ways of God. Verse 7, "In this way, every generation will have a living faith in the laws of life." And so a faith that's alive, faith alive in the laws of life. So it's not necessarily talking about the law of the Old Testament. It's talking about the laws of life, the principles of life. And it says this, "and will not forget the faithful ways of God." So God is faithful through every generation. God was faithful to your great-grandparents' generation and to their great-grandparents' generation and to their great-great generation of grandparents, right? So God is a generational God, and he's been faithful to every generation. Verse 8 says this, "By following his ways, they will break the past bondage of their fickle fathers, who were a stubborn, rebellious generation and whose spirit strayed from the eternal God. They refused to love him with all of their hearts." And so when we say, okay, this is going to stop with me, I'm not going to allow this to go into the next generation, then it says it will break the past bondage. See, a lot of us are in bondage to our past ways because we hadn't allowed the will of God and the word of God to break past that bondage. Because we're saying, well, this is what my parents taught me. And I know sometimes we always, and I was talking about this yesterday, sometimes we continue to do something over and over again because our parents taught us, But when we find out the truth of that's not true, then we oftentimes want to continue along in what our parents taught us. We oftentimes want to continue along in those tendencies, right? Because we want to say, well, I know my parents were not lying to me. So here's I want to give you a pro tip here. I want to give you a tip. When you find out something that is true that you thought was true from your parents, separate what they taught you from the person. Because a lot of times what happens is we connect what they taught us to the person, and we don't want to go with the truth because we think we're going against the person. But when you separate the lesson from the person, when you separate the lesson from what they taught you, and you say, I'm going to go with the truth, then in your mind, you don't have to have this just dissonance. You don't have to have this just kind of like, man, why did they teach me this? This angst within you. You say, well, that's all they know. And that's okay. That's okay. See, we know in part, we prophesy in part. So if we know in part, then that means that we only know so much, right? So since we only know so much, then that means that we need to separate the lesson from the person. Because I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of this myself. I tried to connect the lesson and the person together, and then I had this negativity about the person. But God, Holy Spirit was like, well, just separate the lesson from the person because that's all they knew. And so we have to do the same thing when we are brought into a better light. We have to do the same thing when we brought into a better truth of who God is, because there's some things that you've learned that are not necessarily true. Let me give you an example. One of the things that you've learned that's not necessarily true is if you go to a pool party and you eat, you can't get back into the pool for 30 minutes. Where is the validity in that? Where is the truth in that? There's no truth in that, because the water doesn't affect the food digestion in your body. It doesn't affect it. And so that's one of the things. And we're going to talk about this year. We're going to talk about later on in the year how the mind can accept a lie because of who it came from, because that person has a certain precedence in my life, or that person has a certain authority in my life. See, I want to always encourage you, read the word for yourself. Read the word for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Read the word for yourself. Now, I'm not just going to be up here just telling you all stuff just off the top of my head. I'm coming from the scripture. But I want you to read the word for yourself so you can have a better understanding of the word, so you can get a revelation of the truth of who God is. And that's important. That's important. And so I want to encourage you all, and I'm finished for today, but I want to encourage you all to make sure that you change a generation. Make sure that you allow God to give you wisdom when it comes to your legacy. Because your legacy is really the only thing that will outlive you. And so if you have a negative legacy, guess what will happen? It will outlive you. And people will say, well, this person was good, but this person was good, but see, we don't want to have anything negative for people to say about us, because we lived according to the word of God, and we were able to change a generation because we lived a life of quality, a life of following the will of God for a life of following the purpose of God for our life. Amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise in this place. Amen. We should change a generation. We should change a generation. That's what it's about. So if you would, right where you are, let's just seal this series and this message with prayer. God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you for who you are. We thank you for just this series that we have gone through on legacy. I pray, Lord God, that this will fall on good ground and that your people will make the right decisions in the now that will affect their future forever. So, God, we thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice, Lord God, here in the building. We thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice on live stream. We thank you, Lord God, just for allowing them to receive the word of God, Lord God, the truth of God, the truth of who you are. So as we continue along in this service, we pray that You will be magnified, you'll be glorified, and that your name will be lifted. So we love you, we thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.